I think we are approaching 7 o'clock. Today is Thursday, August 6th, 2020. I am your host for tonight, Kendrick Jones. Thanks for being on the call. My intended lesson for tonight was based on a couple of questions that I received earlier this week. One question was, in Genesis, the Bible speaks of, there's a scripture that says that God created the heavens and earth. And I started doing some research, studying, and that, and I was asked, you know, what did that mean to me? And I wanted to actually teach on that tonight. But due to a few restraints, I was unable to bring tonight to you all a lesson I think that you would really benefit from. That kind of lesson deserves more than 4 or 5 days to prepare for, study, to research. But I will give you just a little nugget in that. So if Genesis says that God created the heavens and the earth, then one begs the question, well, if he created the heavens and the earth, where was he located? Where was he situated when he created the heavens? If he created the heavens, and him creating the heavens came after he was already in it was a being, then where was he? Where was God thrown? Where was he situated? Where did he live? Where did he dwell? Where did he rule from? And I think, man, that was an excellent question. Excellent question, because I don't think most of us have caught that in scripture, in Genesis, where it says that God created the heavens, plural, and the earth, heavens, with an S. So why would the word heaven have an S on it, unless one can fairly determine that if there's an S on the end of heaven, then there has to be more than one heaven. S is plural, means more than one. So there has to be some other place that's called heaven. And I know it makes you say, That is a thought, but I want to share with you a scripture. Really talking too much, really. Margaret tells me what I got today, but it's exciting. So, but it's just a taste of what I'm diving into, try to teach on. 2 Corinthians, I want to write this down. So you can look at it too. You know, 2 Corinthians 12 and 2. 2 Corinthians 12 and 2. Pull it up, read it to you. Just as I see it. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 says, this is the second epistle of Paul to the church in Corinth, or the Corinthians. But he says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. Now, that's that scripture, 2 Corinthians 12 and 2, says, said that this person was caught up to the third heaven. Even if you just made it to the third grade in elementary school, apparently Apostle Paul had some insight, whether through vision or a word of knowledge from God, or this vision that he was seeing, the revelation that this person was caught up to the third heaven. Anybody that made it to the third grade in elementary school knows that you can't have a third heaven unless you have a what? A first and a second heaven. Now, the Bible does not necessarily speak to the first and second heaven like, hey, here's the first and second heaven, the New Eden description, per se. But I'm going to, and I suggest that you do too, I'm going to research this and study this, ask the Lord for some insight in this, and I think it's going to make it for a great Bible study. And I plan to bring this to you all next Thursday night about the different heavens. Now, this may not be something you've ever heard or been taught, but we're gonna walk it out. I love Revelation. Anytime you get into the Word of God, you'll find stuff you've never seen before. It's been there the whole time. But God, and I believe that God, there's three levels of scripture. There's what we read, and there's spiritual, it's what we read in the natural, and there's a spiritual level to God's word that we see. And then there's a revelation. I mean, there may be more dimensions than that. That's just three that I feel in my spirit that there's three levels of this word. So when you read the scripture, it's not just as you see it, there's dimension within the word of God. And if you just read it for in its literal terms, you could miss something because you've been literal. And some of the scriptures are what is called foreshadowing. We're getting to that at the time. But, then we have people that, if they don't see it spelled out exactly like you say, then they say it's not true because it's not in the Bible. My Bible won't say that, is what they say. But you have to give room for revelation. Just because you don't see it in the Bible, one don't mean it's not there. And it don't mean that God did not reveal a word or a revelation of a word to someone. You may have a revelation of something that an apostle or a bishop never even seen before, but God can give to So, since I'm not going to bring that tonight, which I have spent 8 minutes talking about, I'm simply going to share some scriptures with you that are encouraging. And I hope that you write some of these down. This is just God's word. These times and what's going on. But I pray that it will add blessing to you. The first one is Psalms 27:1. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" That's Psalms 27:1. Deuteronomy 31:8. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear, or be dismayed. Don't be dismayed by what you see on the news, what's going on in the land, and do not fear. That was Deuteronomy 31 and 8. Psalms 23 and 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We have comfort in the Lord. It, out of the scriptures, I've said he's our stronghold of our life, that we should not be fearful or dismayed, and then it comes where he comforts us. Job 5:11. He sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. Lamentations 3:22-23. The steadfast love of our Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, God's word in that says that we have new mercies every morning. But how many of us wake up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for your new mercies? Not even worried about the mercies from yesterday, but you got new mercies. And it concludes that great is your faithfulness. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Never let them be afraid. That's Jesus talking right now. That's that John 14:27. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalms 46:1. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. And that was from 2 Corinthians 1:3. Psalms 119:76. Says, let your steadfast love confront me according to your promises to your servant. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. We are the servants of the Most High God. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You read that again. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Psalms 139:11-12. Psalms 139:11-12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day. For darkness is a light with you. Now listen to this. Even with Jesus, even with God, even in the midst of darkness, there's still light. There's some good stuff right there. See, we don't dwell in his presence. We don't do that. We don't dwell in his presence. We go in and out of his presence. What happens when we go in and out of his presence, guess what? We become acceptable or accessible to the feelings of the world. There's people, my friends, that we just can't love enough. We don't have enough money to take care of them. We'll feed all the homeless people, give them all the houses. We will do all that stuff for those that people that are in. We'll heal all old hurts and wounds and diseases. We'll do it all if we could. We'll take on the sadness of the world. But even in the midst of that, it's only one that can really do it. We just see the vibes, the branches, and the joints. We just are part of the equation. But we have to be strong to be strong for others. We have our moments, but we can't stay in those moments where we are caught up in the darkness of the world. And I'm not talking about darkness of the world. Like sin, you're talking about darts of the world, the hurt of the world. Yeah. Isaiah 49:13. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exalt. O earth, break forth, O mountains, unto singing. For the Lord has comforted his people, and will have compassion on his afflicted. I just broke that up. I'm sorry. I'm just going to repeat that. Sing for joy, O heaven. O earth, break forth, O mountains, unto singing. For the Lord has comforted his people, and will have compassion on his afflicted. That was Isaiah 49:13. Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Excuse me. Psalms 55:22. Cast your burdens on the Lord. Now, listen to this. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burdens on the Lord. So casting, if you know anything about fish, you know what I'm saying? Anyone fish, you know, they do a thing called casting the rod. Is where you take the rod, what's the word for it? The old word, you reel back. You heard that's what I have. You reel back, you swing back, and then you toss your bait or your hook out into the water. It says cast your burdens on the Lord. So throw your burdens on the Lord. See, once you throw your burdens on the Lord, then it says, and he will sustain. So God requires you to take some stuff off you, to throw it off you. You can't just, he just sustain you without the throwing off there. You know, it's a give and take. You know, you've heard me say, pray that we approach the doors that God has opened for us. There's a something that we're required to do. We have to, there's some action that we have to take. The the word tells us, faith without works is dead. So you can have all the faith you want, but if you ain't got no works, if you ain't doing nothing with your faith, if you're not working your faith, then the word tells us that it's dead. So in this scripture, in Psalms, it says, cast your burdens on the Lord. So that means you got to throw yourself off. You got to identify one, you got yourself, and you can throw it off first. Then you throw it off, and then it says, and he will sustain. This stuff we carry, we shouldn't even be carrying. We should be carriers of the glory. And it says, he will never permit the righteous to be moved. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:37-39. That means either your sin, I didn't say your sin don't keep you out of the presence of the Lord. It says it won't separate. It says it won't separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that's some love right there. When no matter what you do, you still love. So those scriptures I wanted to share with you, and now I'm going to share with you the word for tonight. I'll give you this word. In a vision, I could see large groups of people half asleep, young, and stretching as they try to wake up. Many of them are so groggy that they couldn't get it on their feet. The enemy has drugged them with complacency. Then some of them began to deliberately shake their hands, arms, and legs to get life flowing again. It seemed as though their eyes were still stuck shut, but they were doing what they could to wake up and feel alive. Others just rolled over and went back to sleep. Isaiah 61:2. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise, and his glory will be seen upon you. So there are some people that are asleep. There are some people that are trying to wake up. There are some people that says that the enemy has drugged them with complacency. It is that some people were up and shaking, trying to get life frozen again. Then it says, and though their eyes still stuck shut, but they were doing what they could to wake up and feel alive. Other just rolled over and back. Wow. We are in a Kairos moment. And God is calling us to specific things, specific preparation, specific calling. We cannot, I just pray that what God is doing in the name of God. So, Father God, we ask in the name of Jesus that anyone that's connected to us on this line, Lord God, our family and friends, Lord God, that they are not asleep, do not draw with complacency, that we wake up with our eyes wide open and we run on to see what the end going to be, Father God, that we give you glory. That you deserve to give you the honor, Lord God, that we are your epistles, Lord God. Father God, that we are in the time as you would have us to be. Father, we ask for strength, that we walk in our resurrection power. We really understand the revelation that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that we cast all burdens on you. That you, we know you will sustain us. But help us, Lord God, remove the burdens that we hold on to. Father, we thank you for every single day that we live. Every memory, good and bad, Lord God, we thank you, Father, for you have sustained us, for you have been with us all the way, even though some of the times were sad, we've been hurt, we've been beat, lied upon, talked about, cussed at, treated wrong by those who say they love us and that we love. But Father, you have seen us through all of it. This too shall pass. We have to look toward the hills from where our help comes. And we, Father, we appreciate you along the journey. It is in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ that we declare all this to be so. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being on the call tonight. I will see you at 7 o'clock. Next Thursday night. Preferably, we talk about the heavenly realm. Talk to you later. God bless you. Bye bye.